Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
How do our brains handle aggression? And are male brains more built for it than female brains are? Well, Dayu Lin is a professor at the Departments of Psychiatry and Neuroscience at NYU Grossman School of Medicine. She's been looking at this in rodents. She joins me now. Dayu, welcome to the program. Your study looks at the relationship between dopamine and aggression. And I was really surprised by that because I thought we associated dopamine with the reward center. And I don't see how that links into aggression. So can you tell me a little bit about how these two things are related and how our modern day antipsychotics work?
Okay, yes. So the role of dopamine in the brain is very diverse. It's well known that it's critical for movement, and it's also known that it's important for reward, reinforcement learning, and motivation. But on top of all that, there is actually quite a bit of evidence suggesting dopamine is affecting aggression, more specifically beyond that. For example, there are genes that in the mutation of those genes, and which one particular gene is important for degradation of the dopamine, basically get rid of the dopamine. And in those patients with that mutations, the whole family shows hyperaggression.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about, this is the MAOA gene, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right, the warrior gene, yes, that's right.
Can you tell me a little bit about how that gene regulates aggression?
Yeah, so that gene is a monomase oxidase. So the dopamine in the dopamine synthesis pathway, so this is kind of the end of the step, which is to get rid of dopamine, to kind of break it apart. So that gene, when it's mutated, basically dopamine will hang around in the brain for much longer time. So effectively increase the dopamine concentration. And that's when causing the problem. So there's a hypoaggression, which is suggesting that high level of dopamine can cause high level of aggression. And this has been replicated in the mice that has this mutation of the gene, has the similar phenotype, as well as if you just increase the dopamine using drugs, that will also increase aggression. So, dopamine does many things. But it seems to have a specific function in aggression, on top of its function in the reward, in the motivation, and in the movement.
Can you tell me a little bit about your research and what it told us about aggression, particularly the differences between male and female mice?
Sure. So what we found is that there is a group of dopamine neurons, and they are very essential for the aggression, but it's essential for the aggression learning process. So when we suppress the activity of these cells, we found that the aggression in animals that are naive to aggressive behaviors, they have very little aggressive behavior experience, then they cannot become aggressive.
So these are mice that have never fought before. You reduce the dopamine levels and they just didn't learn how to be aggressive.
Exactly. Yeah. And also if in animals that fought before relatively few times, like less than 3 days, then when we suppress the activity of these cells, then the animal wouldn't fight anymore.
Okay. And what about animals that had already been quite aggressive? Could you stop them from being aggressive by using this dopamine stopper?
No. We cannot, unfortunately. So in these animals, dopamine seem to be not important at all.
Huh.
Yeah. So they keep fighting. They once they learned how to fight, they fight very well. And also for female aggression in the mice, it does not make any difference either.
Right. I mean, are female mice typically aggressive?
No, they are not. The females are generally very mild, but they show a specific form of aggression, which is called a maternal aggression. That's when they are mothers, they're protecting their young, so they will fight the intruders.
Right. So they only fight when someone is threatening their babies, essentially. Let's go back to the dopamine turning it down. So when we turn it down, animals that weren't aggressive just stay not aggressive or just don't learn how to fight and don't fight in those scenarios. Animals that have been aggressive, it doesn't affect them. They continue to be aggressive. What happens if you turn up the dopamine stimulation in these mice?
Yes. So consistent with this suppression effect, we also see that when we turned up in the animals that was not having much fighting experience, it will increase the aggression.
Right.
It double the time they will fight. And in the animals that...
Oh, sorry. Just on that, you said it would double their aggression. You're talking about the length of time they fight, not the level of activity or the viciousness of their fighting, just the length of it?
The length of it, okay. Yeah. So
I was imagining that they went crazy, but actually they just fought for longer.
They fought for longer. Our test is typically 10 minutes. So we quantify how much time they fight within that 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's actually very difficult to determine how viciously they fight.
Yeah, I guess. You just have to watch a lot of mice fighting videos, which, I mean, I'm sure there's someone who's interested in doing that. So if you turned up the dopamine in those mice who were already very aggressive, what happened to them?
Yeah, their fighting duration didn't change at all.
Oh.
And it's not because, in fact, those mice fight, those mice already fight too much that they couldn't fight anymore. They actually can. They just don't.
Why is that?
Yeah. So exactly. That's kind of where we decided to understand why that happens.
So taking this study and trying to draw comparisons with humans, because of course humans are not mice, but we share a lot of the similar circuitry. That MAOA gene, when we see this in humans, we note that it is associated with higher levels of aggression, right?
Yes.
And so would the same be said of turning up dopamine in humans? Would we fight for longer if we weren't particularly aggressive, but we got a lot of dopamine?
It could well be, yes.
Ethically hard to figure that one out, right?
Yeah, I mean, dopamine does certain drugs which could increase the dopamine levels, then anecdotally has been suggested to also increase aggression levels. So in humans, so I think the link is fairly clear. So in all these regions, we have identified that's critical for aggression. They are highly conserved. These are very ancient structures. They conserved throughout the vertebrate species, and they are in fish, in crocodile, in birds, in mice, and as well as in humans. So we really don't have any reason to think that this mechanism doesn't work in the humans.
So when you say the aggression, these structures are conserved in invertebrates, essentially what you're saying in layperson speak is that the way we use aggression is fundamental to being a living thing, particularly being a vertebrate, because it's seen in all sorts of animals.
Yes. So the circuit is the brain regions, the structures, the cells, they exist for millions of years during evolution. And all the species, vertebrate species, they have those brain regions and they have the same connections. And we can recognize aggressions throughout all these species. So the circuit is, when I talk about circuit, I really talk about multiple regions and their connections among each other. So these is, we believe they are highly evolutionarily conserved. When we look at individual regions, their relevance to certain behaviors, we often can find it across the species.
Okay.
Yeah.
When we look at what we've learned from your study, which looks at dopamine regulating aggression, Would this help us make better antipsychotic drugs? Are there any learnings that might help us treat people with psychotic episodes due to schizophrenia or bipolar disorder or any other mental health conditions?
I sure hope so. So there are a couple take home from our studies. One is that the dopamine probably works best during the early stage of aggression. And in fact, clinically, there are evidence supporting that. So the antipsychotic has a much better effect in pediatric populations, in the kids who has potentially autism and conductor disorders. So these kids, when they are giving antipsychotic because of those aggressive issues, then the drug tend to have a much long-lasting effect. Mm. After the drug is off for multiple months, the follow-up studies show that it tend to have an effect to sustaining the low aggression.
Right.
But unfortunately, in adults who has a long history of aggression, the drug probably really just sedate and compromise the individuals
right.
at that moment of time.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't have a beneficial effect.
Dai Yulin, professor in the departments of psychiatry and of neuroscience at NYU Grossman, thanks for your time.
Sure, thank you for having me.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.